Dan. Chris Fry is just joining us. Looks like we're recording.
Hello, Chris.
Hi there. Hi.
Okay, I might as well say who we are and what we're doing here because it's the start of the recording. So I'm Vance Stevens. I'm in Malaysia. And Dan Bassel has joined him. I last saw him in Chicago a couple of years ago. And Nina is here from Maryland. Yes, if I get that's right. And Suze Nairup from Denmark. And Michael from Australia, from Adelaide, is on his way. And also B is in Brazil. She's Barbara Dew. And this is the 26th of April. And it's Learning Together, episode 454. I just added one. Let's see. It's the fifth Webheads in Action, the regular revival meeting called the Webheads Revival. And this is the, I think, the 11th Talon group. Talon is teaching and learning online. So having said all that, let's see. I don't know, Michael, what would you like to do tonight?
I was wondering whether you were going to lead this revival meeting with a prayer.
Yes. Shall we take some time out to privately do this? Okay. This is what they do in Thailand. And here they do like this. Okay. So I don't know about you guys, but I got that out of the way. So, how is everyone?
Yeah. Feeling good. I mean, it's about the numbers. We've had 4 days in a row with no new cases in South Australia, so we're all feeling very pleased with ourselves.
You know, you guys are doing really well. You know, the curve for most places is going up like that, or, you know, but in Malaysia, it's coming down just like this, but in Australia, it's going, whoa. So we really nice looking in Australia. World Health.
Unfortunately, we have done well. Say the same thing in Brazil.
Brazil, yeah. But at least in the countryside where you are, B, I hope it's.
We only have birds, so I hope birds do not transmit anything. Birds and dogs.
I read this week that two American cats have been diagnosed with COVID-19.
Really?
Oh, look, Jane's here.
Yeah, hi.
How lovely.
What? Oh, my goodness. I can't find me. just sit here. Let me open it up.
Let me just introduce a couple more people. Chris Fry is here from Barcelona. Daph is here from Denia in Spain.
Thank
you. Possibly Canada. I don't know. Where are you now, Jane?
Well, right now I'm in Florida. Mike's up in Nova Scotia, so I decided to isolate down here where we can get outside a little bit more easily.
I'm sure Florida is quite safe. The governor is doing everything that's necessary.
Well, who would have thought, but Florida seems to be safer than Nova Scotia at this point.
Here's Heike from Germany.
Hello.
Hi.
I think I've mentioned everybody.
Hi, Michael.
Before some of you arrived, but anyway, you're all on recording. And Teresa is on her way. Teresa from Portugal. So we're having a nice turnout here for the Webheads weekly revival meeting on a Sunday. How appropriate.
Hello
is
there.
That?
Just in case you needed reviving.
Yeah.
It's hey, Michael.
Go ahead. Yeah, Daph. Oh, sorry.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
Teresinha. How are you, Daphne and B? And Jane, I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Boy, remember those times in Seattle in 2000.
Oh, yes. And New York. Those were two fabulous conferences. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Jane's been down here recently. She has a son who's wisely chosen to fall in love with an Australian, so he's stuck here. So Jane has become a
and
visitor.
Michael gave me, somehow Mike and I managed to plan a wonderful trip to Australia between the fires and the virus. I don't know how we managed to squeeze that in. And well, Mike gave us a wonderful tour of Adelaide. It was great.
I've been meaning to ask you what you thought of that, actually, because the first half of it was a bit of an experiment, if you remember. I took Jane and her husband on a tour of important places in my life, not a normal tour of Adelaide, a tour of my...
I think that would have been much more interesting than any other kind of tour.
It was brilliant. It was really brilliant. It was so nice. We got to see where he was born.
Oh, yeah, Ritinha.
Sorry, Jane.
Hello, Hala. Hello.
Where I went to school.
That's right.
Here's Hala from Sudan, but now from Bahrain. Oh. Bahrain right now.
Originally Sudanese, huh? Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
Linga, fine, and you?
So good to see you.
Oh, long time no see. Hi, Rita. Hello, V.
Okay, if we count Hala as
being from Bobby.
Sudan, we have six continents.
Hello, Bobby.
Jesus. Why don't you join us?
Hey, everybody.
Stick around.
Hi, Bobby.
Rita from Australia just joined. From Argentina, sorry. Austria, Argentina, Australia. No, seriously, from Argentina. From Rosaria, Argentina. She's just now joined us.
Yeah, nice to see you guys. I'm listening in the background.
Hello, Bobby.
She's not going to be able to listen for very long. I'm going to put in the headphones. Oh, yeah. She says that I have to tell you about our new grandchild. Well, he's not here yet. He's kind of on the way.
Still in utero?
Hmm?
Still in utero?
Yes. He's... His mother is in the hospital in Doha, and things look like they're going just fine. So
great.
No problem.
Well, pre-congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's on Bobby's mind at the moment.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It's hard to be so far away at times like this.
Yeah, we can't get there. And her mother tried to fly from Kuala Lumpur to Doha right at the time. It must have been March 16th or 17th. March 16th, I suppose. No, 17th, maybe the 17th, because that, the movement control order went into effect on the 18th. And even though on the 17th, Doha decided they weren't admitting anyone into the country at that date. So whereas... Michelle's mother tried to get into, tried to fly there the day before the Malaysian order kicked in. She was thwarted by the Doha authorities, who wouldn't allow people on planes coming to Doha. Except there was an exemption for medical personnel, and it turns out that some people whom Clara, Michelle's mother, met in the airport when she was being denied entry and they were let in, turned out to be nurses who are actually treating Michelle right now in Doha. Well, how's that for a story?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're all, so yeah.
Your daughter-in-law's parents live in KL?
Yeah, they're Malaysian. Yeah.
I had forgotten that part.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of a story of someone who had left the UK with his Australian girlfriend, and during the flight in the UK, they decided to get rid of the apartment to definitely move out. They shipped some stuff ahead already to Australia because they wanted to live together in Australia and wanted to stay in Australia. And literally as they were flying down, 10 hours too late, Australia did the lockdown. And so he was denied entry. She was Australian. He was denied entry. He had to return first to the UK, and now he had to return to America because of being American. And so they're split wow. apart. So mm-hmm. tragic. And literally 10 hours too late, they landed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter-in-law, she went to Australia in February to see her sister who is living in Sydney. And we all warned her to come back earlier than predicted, but she had her holidays and she wanted to stay on. So she returns to Brazil on the 28th of March. And what she didn't see is when she flew from Sydney to Santiago, that she did not have a connecting flight to Brazil. Mm. So she stayed, she did all this trip about 4 hours it takes from the moment you leave home. She arrived in Santiago. She was stranded in Santiago. She had to wait 10 hours in a cubicle standing.
No sound.
Lost you, B.
Yeah.
Then she started feeling unwell.
Now, where is she now?
From B.
But she was diagnosed with COVID. So fortunately, it was not very strong. She had headaches and she was coughing a bit. She had fever, but it was not high fever. And she recovered. She went now to hospital last week to see, to do the exams again. And she is now negative. So everything went well. So.
Great.
Yeah. I have a happy story. I have two friends. They've been married a long time. They met in Russia. Where they were both teaching English. She's Belgian and he's American. And they are now retired and we're moving to Belgium. Some of you, I think I've told the part of the story. So anyway, they sold their house here and then COVID-19 happened. So they couldn't take the cruise they were going to take to get to Belgium. And they were kind of stuck without a house, but fortunately they had a friend who has a townhouse that he let them live in because he wasn't living in it. And we got together with them on Zoom and then we actually got together and took a walk in the park near us. It was really lovely. And I expected to be able to do that a few more times because I didn't think that they would be able to get a flight. But yesterday they arrived in Antwerp after a very long and circuitous trip, and they are now quarantined in an Airbnb. In 2 weeks, they will be okay. So they made it, and hopefully, healthily. So great. Sometimes things work out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hi. Sorry, I was a bit late. I listened to the recording last week and I heard you saying, Michael and B, I think, you know, why do they not allow people to use the beaches? And it was like that here with the mountains. You know, they said you can't go walking in the mountains. It seemed very strange at first, but then it turned out that it was because of the emergency response that they didn't want people walking in the mountains because all of the helicopters and anything which goes to get people who are have problems were needed. So, well, you know, when you got the reason, it became, I don't think the beach is as dangerous as the mountains, but anyway, I thought it was, you know, we didn't think of that at first. It was just, why not? You know?
Right.
I understand that in Spain, you're limited. Like if you have to walk a dog, you're limited to a certain number of meters from your door that you can take your dog. Do you know about this, Daph?
The rules here have been changing from morning to evening every day because of the very good government that we have. They don't know what to do. They decided that today the kids were going to go out. And that they would have to accompany their parents to the drugstore or to the supermarket or to the cigarettes kiosk. And everybody complained. You know, it was in the morning. By noon, everybody was complaining because those are the places where most people are, and you know, more the contagion will be more, you know. And so by night, they decided that no, that they decided that today, kids from up to 14 years could go out, one parent with two kids maximum, and with masks, and they cannot go more than 1 kilometer away from their house. And they say that if everything is going okay, next week adults can go out for exercising like 1 hour a day or something like that. But today I've been looking out of the window and I see couples with 3 or 4 kids, no mask, walking around, and people with no kids. And we still are we still having 300 a death a day. Mm-hmm. So and lots of contagions every day. So I think this is not really good. Like my grandkids, they have a good backyard, so they won't go out today. They won't go out until things are better.
Spain was much heavier. Was much more
draconian.
I can't find my word. Lockdown. It was much more absolute lockdown because, as you say, people.
No sound from you.
No sound. Yeah, Elizabeth, it froze.
Yeah.
So I'll jump in and say another thing. My Spanish friend said is that you can't when. You can go to the supermarket once every 2 weeks. Maybe this is just Madrid. I don't know. Mm. But you can't go to any supermarket. You have to go to one that you've been assigned to in your neighborhood, and you have to walk there.
Well, you have to go to the one that is closer to your house. But you can go. They don't know if you're going every day or if you're going once a week. Mm-hmm. But it's common sense that the less you go, the safer you are.
Mm-hmm. You know, my brother is living in Panama, and there it has been a total lockdown. It's almost military there. You have police patrolling the streets. People are inside their apartments, houses, whatever. They can only leave 2 hours a day to do their shopping. And this is according to the hours are established according to their identity numbers. So what happens is that my brother, for instance, he can only go out from 12:30 to 2:30, whatever. And then obviously there is prohibition, no alcohol. You cannot buy it. You cannot transport it. You cannot drink
not
it.
Here.
Okay. And you have a very big high. A very important fine if you are found doing these things.
I have to jump really, in there with my state, Maryland. And I congratulate my Republican governor. I don't like him, but I think he's done a good job. But one thing that they did was when they established which businesses were essential and could stay open, one of them was liquor stores. Go figure. So I questioned that, and somebody said, well, it's because if people are alcoholic and they can't get at liquor, they will go into what are they called? DTs, delirium tremens, and they will need to go to the emergency room, and we don't want them in the emergency room. I don't know if that was the reasoning. It might have something to do with the fact that the state owns all the liquor stores. I don't know, but I
some vodka to wipe down their
well,
wipe
you can buy anything at the supermarket.
Yes,
it's like Donald Trump who thinks we should
exactly.
That was the joke of the year. Oh my.
Yeah, but he must be under effect of the chloroquine. The same thing happens to our president. It muddles the brain.
What a team they are.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I suggest you take an injection of a Roundup.
Yes.
Let him be the first person that would eliminate.
It would be nice if he tried it out on himself before he recommended
exactly.
it.
Anyway, we're laughing, but we are in a major turmoil in our country because on Friday now, not even our president, but the person who is there or the monster that is there, his Minister of Justice renounced, and he was very popular. And he also, when he renounced making all sorts of accusations of illegalities and corruption. So 5 hours later, the president came to talk in a live speech. And then it was the most surreal thing I have ever heard. You had a number of disconnected, total nonsense sentences, like a stream of consciousness that was coming out, and he was babbling there and talking about every single moment, I think, of his government, but very personal things. And we were just looking and listening to this, and we said, no, this is, he's totally insane. There is no, absolutely no doubt about it.
I know, please, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, Portugal. Portugal has been the country that has dealt with this problem in the best way, I think.
Seems like it, yes, exactly. I mean, we closed the borders with Spain way back, I think at a great moment, and only they're only open for, you know, trucks going through with goods and so on, and medical equipment, I'm sure. And, you know, we've been, according to the government and our president, who is very well liked in this country, we are behaving, in quotes, very well as a people, although there's a certain disobedience, of course, you know. But anyway, we've been doing quite well. But I was just going to say, going back to Trump, I don't know if you saw this, I got this cartoon, or not really, it's just a picture of Boris Johnson talking to the Queen on their first phone meeting, right? And he said, I got COVID-19, and she said, go touch Trump.
But he's immune because he's on chloroquine, so he is immune, just like our president. He goes on, he spreads the virus around, and then he gets nothing, but his brain is degenerating. So anyway.
Anyway. All kinds of jokes, and we need them. We need to get a good laugh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Almost every day or every day. And
Do you guys follow Randy Rainbow on YouTube?
No.
He's a genius. Look him up. His real name is Randy Rainbow, and he has a YouTube channel, and he does parodies of songs. Ah. They go all the way back to 2016, or at least 2017. They're so clever. Broadway shows and mostly Broadway shows. Songs. Probably some of you saw the parody of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah.
It was going viral. Well, he does things like that, only a little more racy, but they're very, very funny. He's amazing. I would suggest that you start out with Andy, which is a song that's parodying a song called Sandy from Greece, I think, the musical Greece. I never saw that musical, so I didn't know this song, but it's very funny. It's about how he's in love with the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. He's just great. He gives me the laugh I need when I need it.
Uh-huh.
I hope no one will be offended because some of the things he says are a bit offensive, but they're very funny.
I saw one today from an Australian cartoonist called Michael Lunig. And it's funny and sad. It's a mother walking along the street with her baby in the pusher. They're going to the park and they get to the park and the gate's closed. And on the sign on the gate, it says, due to COVID-19, I'm sorry, this park is closed. We have gone online at www.park.com.
Right, like the one with the cartoon with the passengers on the plane and then getting the announcement from the captain saying, I'm working from home today. Everybody goes, but you know what I find, fantastic, I was just reading this piece of news today about, I think it was the Met Opera getting together yesterday for a 3 or 4 hour show, everybody from home, and they're, you know, playing and singing these fabulous pieces, a bit like that 8 hour live show on YouTube, forget the name now, but you know, I kept thinking to myself, who would have thought this would be possible several months ago? You know, having these shows, spectacular shows online with such good sound and so on. It's really amazing, you know, how people can be creative and adapt to the situations we're all living in, because this is a world thing, you know. So I find that amazing. Yes, Sus?
One thing that's making me get up every morning is that we have a leader of a children's choir who's very popular. He started very early making a morning song session from his home. He plays the piano, he introduced the song, and you can see the text. And the wonderful thing is he starts with some gym exercises. You have to stretch and do strange faces and train your voice. But these two morning songs, every day for 6 weeks, has made my voice much better. I don't like to listen to my own voice, but now I really don't care. And the wonderful thing is about more than a million, that's 1/4 of the population, are following this program every day. We're singing together, and now they also have started a program on Friday night for an hour where popular musicians will sing one song each, and there are some comments, and it is followed by small videos from people asking for a favorite song, and very often there are small children videotaped asking for a song, which is very touching and very, very sweet. It is really bringing something togetherness, singing together, it's very, very nice. Mm. We have this tradition in Denmark. In an innovative way, doing it together apart, it's very good.
Great.
And then I've been watching the plays that are put on YouTube for free by the National Theatre of London.
Yes.
This week I saw Twelfth Night.
Mm.
Wonderful production. Last week it was an adaptation of Jane Eyre. Mm. They're wonderful. Of course, they're trying to raise money, and I haven't sent them anything, but I hope to. So those are just on YouTube at National Theatre. Their channel, and there's a different play every week.
Yeah, Abbey Theatre from Dublin is doing something similar, and I was very skeptical, but it took about 10 minutes, and then it didn't matter that I was sitting at home watching this one production. It was just as good as being in the theater.
Well, you know, in some ways it's better, because when I see a Shakespeare play, I probably miss about half of it, and they had subtitles.
Ooh.
I didn't miss anything.
Right.
I loved it.
What's interesting is, of course, that people are discovering that you can do all these things online. What's going to happen, as people are now calling it, on the other side? So many of these things are going to stay online, and they won't go back.
They can't afford
Absolutely,
to stay
Michael.
They, mm-hmm. You know, they may not be able to afford to get through to the other side, especially small outfits.
I was listening to some people talking on television the other day about large companies reducing their physical spaces and having the employees that can work from home working from their homes. So they would reduce the cost of electricity, water, and all the things that, you know, the things that it implies to have more people working from the company.
Daph, that's curious, because sorry, Doris, go ahead.
It's okay.
No.
You know, that's something that is happening now. I am working on my own and I am teaching online. So I got these partners in Germany now, and that's great. They tell me, okay, here you have the students. I do all the work. I do everything. I had to pay for my electricity, have a computer, the time, the schedule, materials, everything. You just, you know, they find someone to teach. They need a teacher. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, but the worker is the one that has to have everything now. So it's, for me, it's great. Mm-hmm. I am so happy, you know, to have students. But that will be happening in many fields, not only education.
Yeah, but
besitos.
Besinos. The other day I was talking to João about that. And, you know, I think that things will change quite a bit, because I think companies may have come to the conclusion that having certain employees working at home can be useful. And there will have to be, I guess, adjustments in terms of salaries, etc. But I mean, you know, whatever adjustments. But for example, my older son, Pedro, who works at the French bank, Elizabeth Ann, you know this one, Paribas, BNP Paribas. And they had been thinking of sending them home like 2-3 times a week for quite some time. Then they had to do it all of a sudden. So I think that will probably accelerate that process of having workers, maybe not just 2-3 times a week, but the whole week at home, mm-hmm. maybe reporting to, you know, the physical bank, I don't know, once, twice a month, something like that. So I think several things will change, and I hope that many will change for the better.
Wouldn't it be nice if we find that we don't need so many cars, so we can, I know in some places they've turned the highways over to pedestrians so that they mm-hmm. can walk, and we can replace our cars with bicycles. They're also finding that workers are the ones who have to travel the farthest, because they can't get into the cities because they can't afford to live there. So they're living several subdivisions or suburbs away from the city. So more housing needs to be built in that's affordable so that they can get around. And then when we don't need all the cars, we can turn the parking lots into housing units
mm-hmm.
and have a place so that people on a lower income can walk to work, and everybody can walk to work. So I think we should do some dreaming of urban planning and how we can redesign our cities to
uh-huh.
be more...
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm starting a course with my English for Architecture students. And in this quarter, one of the topics is this designing of cities, you know? So maybe that would be a topic to discuss.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Very interesting topic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
Of course.
Yes. There are all the people.
This week was Earth Day. So that was a topic we discussed in class. And Elena Galani, she's a teacher from Greece, and she joined my students, and they're working on a project, and we play games. And so it's like, okay, there's going to be, there is a big problem with economy, and maybe a lot of a lot of businesses are going to go down, but on the other hand, employees can stay home, and it's going to be better for them, so they don't pay so much on other things. So I think at the end of the day, we will find a way, and there will be balance, and we will survive. That's what we do.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be difficult. There are many big stores. Obviously, we don't need them, okay? It's just consumer ideas. But big retail stores, especially in the retail market, luxury retail market, they're closing their doors. And this is quite dramatic, not so much for the shops, but it's for the people who work there. Exactly. I have here an article that came out, and it shows the Lord & Taylor's, Neiman Marcus, who else? Gap is closing. They are all filing bankruptcy, and it's quite dramatic when you see the number of people who are being laid off. Yeah. Big changes are like that, you know? In our country is destroyed. Everybody knows that. And we are all over, so we have to change everything, you know. It's being so what we are, the whole world is living now for us is like, okay, we have been living that for quite a time now, and we have found a way, you know, and it's community, people helping each other and finding new ways to produce and survive. So mm-hmm. We were talking about sustainability yesterday, and we were talking about sustainable food practices. Mm-hmm. So maybe, well, now you won't work in a retail industry, you will go to, you will find something else, okay? Mm-hmm. Big changes like this are killing what we know. Okay, so every day is a new day.
What's interesting, Doris, is that virtual worlds are having a great influx of people. Have you noticed any changes there?
Yes, I came back yesterday. Oh,
I was in Second Life last night.
You know, I had trouble. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have a nice picture that I'm going to post because Pionia Destiny, that's my avatar there, she was wearing a mask the whole time, you know? So I went to this beautiful place that there is art, and there's a lot of, you know, scenery and music is near the sea, so you see the sunset and all that. And it was really, really relaxing for me. I had a terrible week this week. And I found this. King sitting on a high chair. So Pionia sat next to him, looking at him like, what are you going to do now, King? You know, I got this in my mouth to protect my life, and he's sitting there with a sword, like, okay, what are we going to do, you know? And so it's...
The fact is, though, that in Second Life, some of the old-timers are returning, yeah, like yourself. Also quite prominent people, and one of them is Pathfinder Lester. You probably know him.
Right? Yes, of course.
He was the the person in charge for educational services at Glinda Lab, and he's not been in Second Life. He's now he's talking a lot to Glinda Lab again. they've set up a big new company because they say, look, there's something that soon will kick in, which is the Zoom fatigue. Zoom fatigue, yeah. And he says Zoom fatigue, there's actually in National Geographic a big article about it, if I can share that one. And they're saying that what is missing about Zoom, which, I mean, we're blessed mm-hmm. with Zoom. I think mankind is blessed with Zoom. And I'm a big advocate of Zoom. And I use it all day long. And I really love it. And I don't think we would have survived this crisis without it, honestly. And so many of our students can join Zoom and everything. So, but there is something that is, it says that it drains a lot the mental capacity to be in a Zoom meeting. For example, looking at 10, 12 faces that keep moving, yeah, that is very draining on our eyes, on our mental state, and it's the sense of space that is missing. Sometimes also gestures and body language that bog a lot. So there is an idea thinking that yes, in a virtual world, there could also collaboration be taking place. People can be trained, English language learning can take place, and it's a lot less energy draining than Zoom meetings because you can spend many hours in Second Life just feel good. Yeah. Do you agree mm-hmm. with that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to sleep at 2 o'clock afterwards. Yesterday. You know,
yeah, and even feel better afterwards. Yeah, so it's a relaxing, beautiful environment, and so for the eyes as well.
Heike, what's the name of the man, the guy? Can you write it in the chat?
It's Pathfinder Lester.
That's fine.
Remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So after Heike said that, I switched Thanks. To speaker view. Which it's easier to ignore the other people and you're just looking at one person at a time. So I think maybe that will be easier. Right now I'm looking at Teddy.
Yeah, from teaching online, I teach only one student. So for me, it's like when somebody's talking, I just look at the person that is talking, you know, because I only have one student. And so these are practices that we're learning and that we had to pass, you know, so nobody was ready for this, even though we have been doing this for so many years, you know, there are new things all the time, or the things that we thought that they were like that, now they are a little bit different. You got many points of view because you got the student there to inform you, you know, what are you saying, what are you seeing on your screen and all that. So it's learning. It's for me. What I am experiencing is that now I have a back pain that I didn't have before. And my arms, because I lean on yeah. my table, you know. So, and that was pretty, that's getting pretty bad, so. Last night and after I went to Second Life, I was listening to the sound of the sea, and it was so beautiful. And then after I finished taking photos and all that, I stayed until 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went to bed and I looked for sound of the sea in YouTube. And I just put on my headphones. I mean, and went to sleep happily, you know, because of the sound of the sea. And I got it from Second Life, you know, before I couldn't sleep. So last night I was happy. Yeah, that's what happened. I was back. I had problems with the internet. So sometimes when I go, it's lottery, you know. And mm-hmm. probably last night, it was an empty place. So that's why I could walk and take pictures and stay. That's a big problem with virtual worlds. When you have, I couldn't go I couldn't attend the virtual world best practices this year because, I mean, the minute I landed on the, I would crash. And I couldn't go to the opening of the museum, the gallery in Edo Nation, because I couldn't stay 5 seconds there. So that's the problem with virtual worlds. So, but it, with the small groups, it's okay. So no big crowds in virtual worlds, but it's wonderful. Last night I found a question on the sand and with papers all around, and it says, so what are you going to do with your life now? You know, it's like, I wish I had my students there with me so we could walk and be immersed in the activity, you know, and it's so what happening right now that is eye-opening. So, well, I hope I can convince them to come soon.
Good luck.
Nair, you're there.
Yes, I'm here, but Zoom cannot find my camera. I'm using the laptop. I wanted to test it, but I need to solve that problem. Good morning, good day, happy
good
day.
Morning.
Sleep. An application, a sleeper. Sleep. Tell me about it.
Oh, let me find the information in the web, and I send it in the chat. But it is very nice because we use it in the tablet, and we play it at night when we are going to sleep. And you can choose any kind of sound, nature sound, rain and water, nature and forest, and you can choose the level of sound or the amount of each sound. Like for nature and forest, there's water, there's trees, there's birds, wind, frogs, crickets, and each one has a volume. And you can choose the volume for each one.
I tried one that is called Calm. But I found it that I couldn't stand it because it was only the sound of the sea. Last night with YouTube, you get the sound of the sea, but there was also music. So it was a very soft music, and in the background you would listen to the. So that's that I could enjoy really much. It was like you are sitting at the shore, you know, and you are like listening to music, but at the same time you are listening, you're looking at the sea and listening.
Oh, well,
to
that's different. That's
that was a nice experience.
There is also rain and water, city and household.
If
you like, relax and meditation. I'm going to search for it in the web, see if they have it.
I'm from the Chicago area, and I've been following the Webheads for 15 or more years. It's really great to hear all of you and share what you're talking about. We started a little bit of a conversation in the chat group about universal basic income, with the economies crashing and people out of work, and we don't know what's going to happen after this, as far as companies downsizing and so forth. In the United States, one of the candidates for president was talking about it, but it really didn't get a lot of attention. But the question was, in your countries, have any of them, Spain or Italy, begun to consider a universal basic income of some form or the other?
Heike?
I don't think so. Not in Portugal,
for many years,
as far as...
but never got anywhere. We've been debating it, yes, in Germany.
I think it's been trialed in Finland. I'm not sure what the state of that trial is, but there has been a trial in Finland. Where else? Everything starts in Finland.
I think in the Arab region, they do have that. In Bahrain, they do give a basic income for anyone who is not employed. They call it, I think, something to do, a term, something to do with, we will not give you this basic income until you get a job. So there is a minimum living wage where they give them this, but when they are employed, it will stop. So it's not whether they are employed or otherwise. I'm not sure if this is what you what you're asking about. It's a guaranteed income after you graduate. It gives you financial security until you find a job.
Well, in Argentina, we have something like that, you know, Doris. Yet the poor people, many poor people, I cannot generalize, but many poor people make the most of it in a bad way. That is, in fact, they don't look too hard to, you know, for a job, because they are really satisfied with the money they get from the government. So they don't want to work now. Yeah, and
they need all money, because that is not enough.
No. It is enough for many of them, because they get something because of different reasons. But they sum up what each of the members of the families get.
One, yes.
So
different plans. They get
a lot of money.
Yeah, but that is just
that's like what happened in Venezuela.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly the same.
I know, but what they do with that, what the government or the ones in power want to do with that money is to have the people poor enough so they can re-elect them all the time.
Of course.
So they are being given money for doing nothing.
Of course.
So that is just to come by, just to live for a the minimum salary is not enough to buy half a pound or a pound of cheese. It's not enough.
It is really sad what is happening with this. I mean, in Venezuela and now in Argentina, I have the two view. I am here. And what saddens me is that, for example, now with this crisis, Maduro is stronger and Mr. Fernandez is stronger. So the presidents or the governments are using the crisis to keep on controlling people, you know, and to keep them where they can be. Right now in Venezuela, they say, okay, stay home, and if you get sick, you're going to go to jail. They're going to disappear you, your family. It is terrible, I mean. Right now here, for example, there are many Venezuelans living here, that are refugees. For these people, I'm the representative of Venezuelans in Jujuy. So they call me all the time. Yesterday I got a call from the Chilean consul asking for a Chilean, a man married to a Venezuelan, but the Venezuelan is a foreigner, so she can. They were in quarantine, and now they have to be taken to their countries. That's what the governor is doing here. So, but she's Venezuelan; she cannot be taken back because we don't even have an embassy anymore. So she's like in the middle of it. Okay, what are we going to do? So, thanks God, there are organizations like the Red Cross that is helping, but this is only for a short time.
But talking about salaries, that was the original question. In Venezuela, for instance, teachers with a postgraduate study or a doctorate, they are teaching online if they have a good computer and they have a good connection. And they get paid $5 per the class, maybe an hour class, an hour long class, that's $5. For them, that's okay. That's enough if they get enough classes. But that is not the stand. That shouldn't be the standard for a teacher with a PhD.
Well, let me tell you,
I'm teaching this class because the university asked me to continue. I told you the other day because they have no teachers. And since I was the one that designed that English for Architecture program, they asked me if I wanted to do it. And I'm doing it. And the money I get is, you know, for me, I cannot get the money from Venezuela to here. But anyway, if I were in Venezuela with what they pay me, I could only get 1 kilo of ribs.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah. For the whole course, that it's a 3-month course.
Yeah.
So I could only get that if I were in Venezuela.
And you can't even get it, that means you're essentially working for nothing.
Yes, yeah. That's for the, because I want to help a university, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
That they do it. And because I like teaching English for Architecture. You all know that I love
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember taking many of my ideas from your blended course and your materials, you know. I was teaching different schools, like, you know, graphic design and lawyers, engineers. I have all the all these kind of and your workforce and inspiration. Well, you've always been my inspiration, you know. So from Venezuela, yes, you were the one that introduced Webheads to me, and Evelyn Izquierdo. That's the other one that is someone that I really love and Nair. That's been here and there. Well, here we are. after so many years, you know, you are so special to us. I'm talking
about
Evelyn. She's not here, maybe because she can't. She doesn't have a good internet connection.
Internet connection.
Her laptop broke. That's the latest.
Yes.
Her work laptop broke, and she is having problems with connection as well.
And she has so much to give because she's a warrior, you know. Well, but what we are here and we're fighting and hoping that you know, these people that believe that they can control the world sooner or later they get what they deserve. Hey, look at that!
Hi.
It's a young face.
Who's that?
Then what's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. Sarah, we're all over the world. I'm in Portugal.
I'm in Malaysia.
I'm in Spain. I was telling my grandkids now that I was talking to you all, and I was telling them where you were located, and they said, "I cannot believe it. Show it to me." I said, "No, but." The oldest, you know.
Take a screenshot.
But he knows Vance because Vance was Vance met them when he was here in Valencia and Denia. Mm-hmm. So I said, "You remember Vance, Bobby, Sebastian, mm-hmm. my grandson?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yeah, I remember him." So he was. He's also. Getting his classes online with he told me of an application, a platform that I didn't know. I have to look for it. That his teacher meets with them twice a week, apart from sending materials and things to do online. And so they keep studying.
What is the name of the application of the platform?
I don't remember. I wrote it down somewhere. I'll check it out and I will tell you next time.
Okay.
I started teaching kids this week, so it's been an experience also. So far, it has worked. Only the problem is that I have a free account, and at 40 minutes, it closes. So, but they like it.
It doesn't happen to me. I teach an hour, and then, I teach the whole hour. And it's free.
The application, we tried that thing.
When you have two or three more, I mean, if you have only one student, works perfectly. Two. But if you had a three or two, and that's what happened to me.
Do you mean Zoom goes on for an hour for free?
For me?
Yes, if you have one student.
Or yes, two. I have two and it works.
As long as one.
Okay.
No, it's I think they're just not consistent in policing it, but sometimes they do. I had an experience the other day where there was a little clock at the top and I could see it running down and then it just closed. So then I had to open a new meeting. Mm. It doesn't do that all the time. Sometimes they tell you how wonderful they are. They're going to extend it, and sometimes they just extend it.
Do you know of a platform called WebEx?
Yeah, I use it.
Okay.
But it's paid. Now, for 100 people, it's still free. But if you have more than that, then you have to pay. Yet it's a very reliable platform, really. Yeah, it's good.
Daphne, is it Jitsi?
What?
Jitsi? Did they mention the name Jitsi? I put it on the chat.
Ah, that's another one.
That's another one that I know. I learned about some platform this week, but I don't have them at hand now. I'll have them handy next week to share with you.
Yeah. I went last week in a session from a university in Emirates, and it worked fine. I didn't know about WebEx. I just downloaded and it was very clear. People from all over the world were
joining,
audio all went very smoothly.
Very well, very smoothly and very reliable it is, yes.
But it is a corporate tool, it's very expensive, isn't it?
Well, it's expensive, but now it's free for 100 users.
No, it's free, I just downloaded and I followed the link.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Jitsi or WebEx?
WebEx.
Ah, okay.
Jitsi is open. It's open source and it's free. Okay. We are using it at school. It works well.
Is that webex.com?
It's WebEx. I need to find out. Mm-hmm. Cisco.
How many WebEx participants can you get into Jitsi? I heard it was only limited to 6 to 8 something. Didn't you say you use Jitsi?
We are using Jitsi at school, and it houses, I don't know, 1,000 students from our school. So
yeah,
we are.
But how many get into Jitsi? Okay.
I don't know. Our classes are about 20 to 25 students. So I don't have. This is for classes for high school. So.
And that works well. For
it
2025?
Works well.
Wow.
2025.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with Jitsi is you haven't got breakout rooms. You can't.
Yeah, you don't have the same functionalities as in Zoom.
Like that.
Yeah.
So it's very limited.
It is. It is in a certain way, but I mean, it's okay if we use it as we're using it here now, right? With the camera and.
I've heard we need to be very careful with Zoom because now there are these Zoom bombers, you know about. You know about that.
Yes,
I haven't had any problems so far, but I've heard that many people have.
Mm. Like in Second Life.
I was concerned tonight when someone in the waiting room was identified as iPhone. So I asked this. I think it was Daph. Was it Daph?
Yes.
Guilty, it was me.
Who's me?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Oh, okay.
Hello.
I keep going out. Yeah, no, because I was on my computer and I was booted out.
Ah.
Uh-huh. So I put it on the phone and I was very surprised. The phone said simply to add the password. And it said iPhone. And I thought, oh, that's strange. But anyway, I put the password and then after a while it said to me, would you like to change your name?
Ah, good.
And so I went out.
Yes. Excellent.
Okay, so sorry.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing to do about Zoom bombers is you set up a waiting room, and then if one gets in inadvertently, you can put them back in the waiting room. So don't eject them. Apparently, if you try to eject them, they come back, and they have ways of doing that. But if you have a waiting room, you can pass them back into the waiting room, and you can communicate with the waiting room, which is what I did with Elizabeth. I said, "Who is this?" You know. And
maybe you have to configure that,
Vance? Do you have to configure that to be able to have the waiting room?
You do. You have to say when you set up the meeting that you enable a waiting room. Yes.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
One of many options. There's so many options that you have to put in before when you set up the meeting. So it's good to know about
that. Yeah, but you set it up on your profile, so you only set it up once, and then after that, every meeting automatically has a waiting
room. You can, yeah.
But yes, you can check it then afterwards.
Yeah.
If you open an account in Zoom, you can set your profile.
And it works really well. You get some people came today. I think Nahir was one of them that I didn't notice the waiting room. I hope you didn't have to wait very long.
But yeah.
When the conversation gets really interesting and just can't get away from it, and then you look up there, oh, there's a waiting room, people in the waiting room. So anyway, normally it works really well. You get notified when people are waiting in the waiting room, and then you can let them in. It's quite easy. It's just mousing over their name and admit, and they come in. So, and then if you go to participants and you want to send someone back to the waiting room, you mouse over their name, and you can send those people back to the waiting room. So, but I've never had to do that. We've never really had a Zoom bomber. So maybe we can have a dry run.
There was
good to know.
Did you hear about the big rumor that went on around House Party too? Does anyone use House Party?
No.
Nope. House Party is works very much like Zoom, and it's it has other options. I haven't used it a lot. I've just been there.
Can you write it in the chat, please?
Yeah, as in house and party. And then there was a big... I'm on my phone. I'm not very good on my phone. There was a big rumor saying, oh, House Party is really dangerous. And I don't know what. And it was just absolutely an internet rumor.
Mm.
And, you know, it has... had no more, and then the same thing happened to Zoom as well, where everyone was saying, "Oh yeah, Zoom is really dangerous." You know, I don't know. It's so strange these
because there's nobody. Skype, but Skype is getting much better now.
I read an article about kids trying to take Google Classroom out of the list of applications, and they were writing bad comments on purpose, okay, so they know that they can do things. So what is happening with these new tools probably is competition, you know, one want to destroy the other. So we are in the middle of this, you know.
Dan has asked if anyone uses Microsoft Teams. And I'm in with a lot of people who do use it, but I don't really know it myself. What do you know about it, Dan?
I am using it. We are using it.
Hala.
Mm-hmm. University of Bahrain, yeah. Uh-huh. We only use Teams. We're not allowed to use any other application or video conferencing. Mm-hmm. We used to use Moodle. Back then, I hate Moodle, so I used to use Schoology. So I was a very million there. But after I got used to Teams, now it's the only application that I use. You know, I don't even contact my students anymore. Even they don't use emails. So it's very convenient. It's super, super convenient, both on your phone and on the laptop or the PC. It's for everything.
I've not used it before. I've read about it. It's good to hear you talk about it.
Hello? Yeah, and the best part with Teams is the package, yani coming with OneDrive with other apps. OneDrive, OneShare, so many apps that you can use at the same time connected together with the official email of the university, Outlook 365. So you ended up not needing any other applications or websites or.
But this is there a free version or do you have to be in the enterprise system?
We're using the enterprise. But
yeah. And that's a big disadvantage because as long as you're in Bahrain, you're fine. But when you leave that place, then everything, every Word document you save, it's all gone. You know, it's just, so that's a big problem. At least it would be for me. I have always tried to circumvent these things by creating my own spaces and, you know, I'm in PB Works and I'm working there and other spaces. Yeah. And then but if I have to use Blackboard, let's say, I will create, I'll have a space there. I'll have a course there, but it's always linking out to my private spaces so that I can keep things. I can set up things. I can, things that I can transfer to another class or to another, institution if I have to. So everything stuff I do is all there.
You're the boss because this is why I created PB Words for transferring the links of the students' simulated teaching lessons, which they uploaded to YouTube. And I asked them to unlock this unlisted, especially for boys. So I thought, let me just take everything into a safe place. And some of the videos of the female teachers, I said, I told them, no, do not, not only share them on OneDrive, but you need to send them to me in my Gmail, my private Gmail. So you're the boss. You taught us here, Vance. You taught us.
Well, you know, it's just what I've experienced. I had a lot of things in because a lot of my students wouldn't come into Google Docs. They're always trying to get out of doing things, you know, by creating problems. Oh, I can't do that. So we had Office 365. I had them. They were forced to do that because they had the account, so they had to. They had to follow along in the class, but I had some in Google Groups and some in Google Docs, you know, doing writing there, and others were writing in Office 365, and that stuff, you know, when I left that place, I just it disappeared, but I still have my Google Docs from students from 2009 or. You know, whenever I started using Google Docs, I know this, the writing is still there. If I wanted to do some research, you know, on errors of this cohort of students, it's there, you know. So it's a really nice thing to have.
Yeah. But thank you for reminding me. I'll keep on doing that. Excuse me, I need to go because, you know, it's Ramadan here. This is our third day.
Ramadan Kareem.
And now we need to go for preparing some things. We have only 1 hour and a half.
Okay.
So thank you very much. I really enjoy just coming and dropping and just joining in different. And I like how you jump from one topic to another.
Topic to another. Participant driven tonight.
Bye, Halina.
With hip style.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I think
Hala.
I need bye-bye. To go too.
Hi, my dear.
Yeah, I need to go too.
Teresinha, with the recipe soon, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye, right. Take care.
Bye-bye, bye. See you.
Yep.
I cannot read it.
Yeah, okay. So does anybody have any last minute things? Because Bobby's actually in a Zoom session with somebody else. I'm supposed to go and join them. Well, this is more important, so don't worry about it.
So bye, guys.
Okay, Rita, before you go, you're with us tomorrow. I'm coming back at this time tomorrow.
This time tomorrow, exactly.
And you're okay. Your internet
at
is
10.
Working now, and it's going to be
in Argentina.
Yeah, internet is working. Hopefully, it will go on working tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, people. Bye. Have a nice week.
Hugs.
Bye. Yep. Bye. Hugs.
Bye. Besitos. Bye. Besitos. Yes. Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So stop the recording. Before I stop, let me just say hi, Elizabeth. Bye, Nahir. This has been Learning Together, episode 434. Sorry, it's 454. And a Talon session, as long as we're in teaching and learning in isolation. And today is the 26th of April, 2020. And this has been Webheads in Action, the fifth meeting of Webheads in Action. And let me just see my video working properly. Okay, so anyway, the fifth Webheads in Action weekly revival meeting, we call them. This is all, the people you just saw were all Webheads in Action. So these are people who have been with each other since 2002, I think we started. And some of them for that long, and some of them for 10 years or 5 years or 15 years, et cetera. Okay, so anyway, nice to see everybody. And we'll back here again next week, 1 week from today on Sunday at 8 o'clock UTC. Oh, no, sorry, noon UTC. That's 8 o'clock in the evening where I am. Noon UTC. Okay, if you're with us, see you then. And I just got to remember how to turn off the recording. I guess under more. Yep. Stop recording. Okay. Bye-bye.